Salam, I am your host Aya Shabi and you are listening to I Am Nala podcast. Welcome to another episode of I Am Nala podcast. My guest today is creative director, co-founder of Made in Color, owned and operated by Black women, and a global DJ. I think in a nutshell, a multi-talented, Jenna Dominique. How are you, Jenna?
I'm doing so well. How are you?
I'm great. And thanks again for taking this podcast so early back there.
Absolutely. It's a pleasure to be here. Are we still saying Happy New Year or is that outdated now?
It is still in order. Happy New Year.
Listen, Happy New Year. We're in 2024, okay? We take important early morning calls in 2024.
Thank you. Who is Jenna in three words?
In three words, Jenna is a dreamer. She is a connector and she is free.
I love that. And I can connect definitely with freedom.
For me, I think it would be easy to limit myself to titles or the way I express myself currently. But I realize that it's just an expression. It's just how I decide to show up in the world today. And that looked different yesterday or 5 years ago, and it could look different tomorrow. So at the root of it all, I want to be free enough to express myself, loving enough to connect myself and connect others, and dreamy enough to imagine a better world for all of us to exist in.
And when you imagine, you definitely manifest. And I have a question later about manifestation. you look beautiful, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
for a 6 a.m. interview.
Listen, okay? Listen, we are ready. Hello, you said camera ready? We're like, great, got it.
Amazing. So I want to go back a little bit to your childhood. How was it growing up? And in that, how did the creatives word came into your life?
I am the daughter of Jerome Pruitt and Jenna Domingue. I come from a family full of J's. My mother's name, Jenna, father, Jerome, brother, Jace, Justin, cousins, siblings. Like, it's a lot of J's. Jason, Jacquetta, Jessica. I mean, you name it, like, J's. And I was actually a really shy kid. And I feel like I was my parents' art school kid. They just didn't know it. And so based off of their upbringing, my mom in particular really encouraged me towards constructive and structured activities. My mother was the mother that like was like, we're doing workbooks in the summertime, right? My mom was a mom that signed me up for speech and debate and cheer and running track, but and like Spanish, right? Like she was like, we're doing all of the constructive activities. And so, you know, I was talking to her recently and she said, I wish she saw the creative in me. She's like, your handwriting was always good. Or like, you were always good kind of at drawing. She was like, yeah, you were. And so I think for me, you know, at the root of it all, my mom and my father encouraged an environment where I could simply become. There was nothing that I couldn't do. And I think that's really where the creative within me was birthed.
That's beautiful. And so as a kid, I mean, how many siblings you have?
Yeah, I have two younger brothers. I have an older half sister and I have two step brothers. So it's like, this is one of those things, like in whole, we're like six, right? Yeah, we're six in whole. But sometimes when I'm like with my mom, I'm like, I'm the oldest of three, you know, and then for my father, I'm his middle child. So the dynamic always kind of changed based off of blended family dynamics. Mm-hmm. But I claim all of us as six because we were brought together and shared home space at some point.
Incredible. Yeah, I was wondering, I mean, you said you were shy as a kid, but I was wondering, like, how was your character? Were you more the protector, the troublemaker, the adventurer? Like, how would you describe that, kid?
I was the studious one. I, like, worked hard for good grades. I Yeah, I wanted good grades. I did the work. I showed up for my homework, for my projects, and for my classes. I was a protector of my siblings as well, my younger brothers. And I was also the person that I think that was a leader. I was like, I'm going to show them how we do it. Like, this is how we show up in the world. And that felt very important to me from childhood to, I suppose, walk with the idea that we only have one life to live. Something I say is like, this body is like the only airplane we get to fly through this life, and we must take care of it. We must, like, we if we want it to go places, then we must take care of it and nurture it and feed it and have layovers. And so I think for me, that was something that I learned at a very early age.
That is such a early consciousness as a child.
My mother was born in the 70s, and I was a 90s baby. And so the 90s were a time of like Disney movies and princesses. They were a time of hip hop culture. It was a time of so much that was changing. And so I think my mom in particular was really judicious in how she like groomed me and shaped me. She used to play a song when I was a kid called Black Butterfly by Denise Williams, and it was about like spreading your wings across the waters. And sometimes she asked me, like, are you done traveling? I was like, Mom, you literally prophesied over my life that I would take myself around the world. Like, no, it will never be done. Like, it's a part of who I am, right? So it's a very special incubator that I was birthed in, I would say.
Nice. So, I mean, since you mentioned all of these elements, building your identity, I guess, how do you identify yourself today? Is it more about being a Black woman in this world? Is it more about gender, race, class? What is it, or is it none of it and just free flowing?
Some of my identities just are, and I don't think that they're things that I have to overstate. I think that when you receive me, you're going to receive my blackness, you're going to receive my womanhood, you're going to receive my queerness. Like, I don't overstate these boxes as the things that make me who I am. I think the things that more make me who I am is like how I express myself. You're always going to see me in color. When I walk into the room, you're going to feel my energy. You're going to be like, what is she wearing? Right? Like, I'm always going to have on something quirky. My eye makeup is always going to be doing a thing. My hair will always look different. Like, these are just the things as you get to know me, you'll expect. And I appreciate being known in that vein. And then it's more so like, I'm a friend, I'm a daughter, I'm a listener, I'm a supporter, I'm a person who's going to give you yes and energy. I'm great for brainstorming, right? Like, I'm a multi-hyphenate. I flow through mediums. And so those are the things I would rather be defined by. And through that work, like, take a stand for the things I believe in, whether that's my womanhood, my blackness, sexuality, and other folks, right? Like, I think I can use those things to take a stand for things that are me and also things that are not.
And do you think that got you into trouble somehow or some challenges in life? And
Sometimes I ask myself what encouraged me to get into the things I got into, because my mother was adopted and she knew her birth family, but she was adopted, and so I feel there's a bit of a disconnect between like ancestrally, my grandmother, her mother, I met maybe when I was a baby, but I don't have a direct relationship with her. And my father, he moved to California from Texas, and so like I interacted with his family sparingly. And my mother now, she is an incredibly successful businesswoman and like C-suite executive in the wine industry, and my father is an X-ray technician. Someone illuminated to me that X-ray, being an X-ray technician, is creative. It's like original form of photography. But I wasn't the kid who had a parent that was like listening to records with them. Like, that's not my story. I didn't grow up with an artistic parent. My dad is like, my baby went to Africa. That's great. Like, I probably won't go, right? And so for me, sometimes I question, where did the love for travel, where did the expression, where did it come from? Because it just feels like it's just oozing out of me. And sometimes when I meditate, I feel I connect with my ancestors and the peoples in the spiritual plane who share that with me. I think my love for travel just came from my mom's encouragement. You know, when I was 16, she took me on a trip to Paris for my birthday. And then when I graduated from college, she encouraged me to travel. She was like, "You have time, like you just finished, go travel." And I did. I went backpacking around Western Europe for 3.5 months. And then I went to South Africa for 3 months. And then I ended up applying for a master's at UCT because I was like, "I love South Africa. I want to live here." Then I was like, "Hold up, wait a minute. I don't want to go to school here. Like, it's too much." And then I went to Southeast Asia and I volunteered at the 2016 Olympics. Like, I don't know. That for me is kind of connected to, I studied anthropology and political science, which I think is also fascinating, like how I ended up creative. But I think anthropology really equips me with the knowledge and the ability to like seep down to a very cultural level, a very like one-to-one human familiarity, gather information, insights, and translate that into an ethnography or a story, whether that's a Instagram stories or a post on LinkedIn. I have the ability to kind of have that vision and translation.
That was actually my next question, that you majored in political science and anthropology. And you said once the degree you choose does not define the path that you end up taking. And I feel that's a great message to especially a lot of young women. I mean, most of our audience are young women who think there is like a path for you. You study this, you get a job in this, you get married, you have children. That's like what society expects you to do. And yet you like navigate it. But also, while you answer that, why education is important, because in many of the creative industry, it's not something people talk about as something important, that knowledge is important. If I have talent, why do I care about knowledge?
It's been really curious for me to be on a creative journey on my own terms, right? Like, most of the work I've done truly has been for myself as a freelancer or through a company I started or a podcast I started or a creative agency I started. And truly, over the last 10 years, I've watched my bandwidth and my capacity and my reach and my budgets and my clients and my team grow in ways that I never, ever would have imagined. And I've also watched myself show up in the world in different ways. I've worked at the farmers market as a vendor with a farmer, I've been a spin instructor. I've been a walking tour guide, like, and I've also been this, like the co-owner and leader of an agency and a creative director on campaigns and experiential activations that reach met a lot of people. I think for me, what education provided me was a container to try things. I went to the University of California, Santa Barbara. And through that, I studied abroad and I studied in DC and I did a number of things. I worked at the Women's Center. I volunteered for the Vice Chancellor. Like, I think what education provides you is this space to kind of press buttons within yourself and figure out what do I care about? What do I like? What gets me excited? Oftentimes, when you're on the path of yourself and or you don't have someone encouraging you to express yourself and try, you just don't try. But my hope with folks who choose a path of education, which I hope many folks do, and that can be in the form of even a course, right? But it allows you to be exposed to thought, to people, to ideology that you maybe wouldn't just stumble upon. And I think that's been the most brilliant thing about my education journey. I think the thing as well that's really become clear to me over the past few years and was not when I chose a college is like your network is so important. That's what you really walk away from school with is a network of people who ideally you cultivate for the rest of your life, right? I just joined the alumni board of my university. I didn't even know I was old enough to be on the board of anything, but we're here, okay? And it's like, my network through my university, my ability to reach current students, my ability to reach folks who graduated 20, 30, and 40 years before me is just so strong. And those connections open doors ultimately.
Yeah, I was going to ask what were you involved in campus? Because you've also done some leadership. I mean, your leadership part as well started showing up there.
Yeah, it did. You know what's so funny? I made the Forbes 30 Under 30 list in 2023, marketing and advertising. And actually, for the 2024 list, I helped another student from UC Santa Barbara. She graduated already, but I helped her make the list as well. And we chatted last week because she's preparing to go to the Forbes 3050 conference in Abu Dhabi. And she reminded me of when we hosted a natural hair conversation on campus like 10 years ago. And I completely forgot about that. It's like, I'm like, what? Send me the photos. When I went to UC Santa Barbara, I was a mentor on the Black Scholars Hall. I was a part of the Black Student Union demands team to the chancellor for things that would make lives on campus for Black students better. I was on Associated Students Program Board that planned all of our large campus events. So that could be anything from weekly movies to our large festival experiences throughout the year. I worked at the Women's Center. In my spare time, I took ballet. I tried swimming and I was like, nah, too wet. I volunteered or I interned for the vice chancellor. So again, that was another opportunity. It was just a time for me to just like, what works? What do I like? What am I good at? And I think that really is, again, where my leadership skills, the seed kind of grew a bit through self-exploration.
I definitely think listening to you, you're the epitome of try everything, get involved, explore. Like, it's definitely a theme, and I love it. And I think it's a very important message for young people because sometimes you end up doing what you don't love doing while ignoring what you love and imagine because you don't give yourself a space to try. So then done with campus, and then you've gone on all these things that you mentioned, which, but I'm more interested in the creative industry, particularly also being a female in that industry. We find ourselves, I mean, this podcast, I invite women, and in most of what they say, they're in male-dominated spaces. I imagine this one is as well. How did you navigate it? And then it's not only creatives, but also business. You build a business.
The creative industry, there's levels to this. I will say that. And I think I've learned that through my journey, right? Again, you have to keep in mind that I started independent. I think with beginning independent, you oftentimes forego and simply just do not know about the structures that exist. There are structures at play everywhere. So, for instance, for me, like stepping and then creating my agency, I didn't know much about the advertising world. I didn't know that there was an art director and a copywriter and they worked together on campaigns. I didn't know that. I didn't know that was the titles. I didn't know the, like, I had no idea. I didn't know that. In jobs, there are roles. Coordinator is kind of a junior level role, and director is more of a managerial role. I didn't know that. And so I think for me, what's been more present, again, like my creative career has been on my own terms. And so I feel for the most part, I've worked with people who I want to work with, who have been Black and Brown folks and queer folks. That's been primarily women and also men. I can't necessarily speak to what generalizations exist in the industry because that's just not been my path. But what I can speak to is just the aha moments I've had being a creative, knowing that I have vision, knowing that I'm super talented, but having to try and put myself in boxes to fit into the structures that I've kind of evaded for years, right? Like now I'm in a place where I'm like, what does it look like to have a job and be a part of a team? What does it look like to wear one hat instead of all of the hats, right? What does it look like? Like, where do I enter? I've ran a company, I've managed a team, I've managed projects, I've done client acquisition, I've drafted contracts, I've hired talent. Like, that's not one job in a company. That's a lot of people's jobs, right? And so that's been my learning in the creative industry is that, it's important even as a creative to identify what you're really good at and what makes your heart sing, right? Not what you have to do, but what you really want to do, what really lights your fire. And I think that, through trying, that's what I've found in myself is like, what lights my fire? What gets me excited? And how I ultimately want to grow. And that's what I would encourage people. It's like, yes, try. And then as you're trying, there's this woman, her name is Danya Taylor, and she said something. She said that we have to put ourselves on our mood board, right? Like we kind of identify all these people that we like their style, we like their content. Like, I want to be like her. I want her relationship. And it's like, what does it look like to put yourself up there and figure out what your patterns are? right? How do you show up? What do you do? And start to kind of pull that, extract that creative DNA from your work so that you can double down on it and show us why you add value to any project, workplace, team that you're on.
So when did it hit rock bottom and how did you rise again?
Rock bottom? I feel like we bottom out a number of times in this life, hey? You know, you hit the bottom, you're like, yo, I thought I was up and now I'm down. Okay, got it. I think there have been a number of points for me where I have had to re-strategize. I think I'm in one right now. You know, I'm reporting live from my mother's home in Las Vegas. I moved in with my mom almost 5 months ago. I could say that this is rock bottom. I don't think that it is. In my mind, it's one of the most safest, stable places I could be in my life right now to rebuild. But it could be bottom because I'm almost 31 years old. I don't have my own apartment. Like, I'm looking for a job. I'm in between. I think another time I've hit rock bottom was when I was just healing from trauma, from sexual assault trauma. And that was another bottom for me, right? Like, that was an emotional, mental bottom that I had to heal through. But I think for me, at the end of it all, like, I just have so much faith that the universe has me. I have so much faith that the lessons that I'm learning, I need to learn the experience I'm supposed to. And so, yeah, that pivot foot got to be strong. Okay.
Yeah, we definitely fail every day. I'm wondering what in that journey, you know, when you reach that point and you rise again, you find yourself again, and you know, you go because it's a point of growth anyway.
Yeah.
As you're learning that, did you what tools did you acquire? Like, share with us your toolbox of like what would you do in that space of, oh, it's really, really going down, but there is a next thing is growing, it's coming out. It's like a little scene that is going to come out as a new season. Like, what are the tools you use for that period of reflection?
I think for me, I'm in a season like this now, so I can share very like transparently about where I am and what I do. I think what I've called the season is practice. And I've encouraged myself to think about what I do, how I show up when no one else is watching. Like, when no one is looking, when it's just me at home, what do I do? How do I spend my time? How do I still cultivate my skills? How do I stay alive? How do I stay inspired and active? So for me, with DJing, that's like listening to mixes. That's watching apartment life YouTube videos. That's making my own mixes as a Christmas present for my friends, right? Like, that's a part of it. I think it's my daily habits. Last year, I heard something and it said that sometimes we have to let go of some of our favorite things because there are better things to hold on to. And that really stuck with me. And so for me, like, I've let go of a lot of things, whether that's my apartment or a partner. And like, I think I practice this a lot. Like, this is my favorite strengthening exercise because this is giving and receiving. Like, I am ready to give and also I am ready to receive. But I also work out like 4 times, 5 times a week. I'm strengthening for my next season and I start my day with meditation and I pray, I talk to God out loud. These are things that I do. I stay in touch with my network. I was talking to my friend yesterday and she was like, "You're so good at keeping in touch with people." Because I was like, "I have a one-on-one with so-and-so." And she's like, "You're so good at that." And it's like, I'm constantly kind of tapping in with a friend, checking in with someone. And so those are some of the things that I do to keep my sights on the next peak. And the last thing I do is I increase my value because yesterday's price is not today's price. Okay. And
Amen
so,
to that.
and that can look like anything from like taking a class. I took a creative director class through Miami Ad School. Like, it's like, how can I really position myself for the next place that I'm going? So those are some of the things that I do. And the last one I would say that's just very human is I allow myself to feel. I think that that's been really important in this time. Like, if I need to cry, I need to cry, girl. And I'm gonna hold myself through that cry and I'm gonna reassure, I'm gonna tell myself it's okay. It's okay that your feelings are hurt. Like, even saying that now, I feel that on my heart. Like, it's okay that you like this person, it didn't work out. It's okay that you weren't chosen. And some of those feelings are really hard to greet, you know? I don't know why I'm getting teary-eyed, but I really feel like it can be really hard to deal with that because that's a part of the journey too. And so I think I'm trying to spend time reconciling those feelings from a lifelong journey because hearing no is a part of it.
That is being human. It's not easy.
Listen, I text my parents last week. I said, I would like to be going back to being a kid. Will you have me? Would you take me back as a child? Because being an adult is for the birds, okay? It's the ghetto. And I would like to be on someone else's dime, someone else's insurance. I would like someone to think about what I'm going to eat. Being adult is not for the faint of heart. And that's what I would tell any young adult. It's like, enjoy being a kid, really. Enjoy the journey of being a child, truly, of being whimsical, of being curious, of not knowing, of being safe, of playing it safe, of having someone who's being vigilant for you, you know?
Thank you for sharing that. You know, you said something reminded me of, I have a spiritual guide. She's from the Amazons, and I was telling her about the vision board, which is right there actually. So I did this vision board in 2022, and I was telling her, excited and telling her all about it. She's like, listen, I don't do vision boards because what's planned for you might be much, much more what you're gonna put on a, you know, a box, imagining that that's your dream, you know. And I feel like that's what you're sharing. That's the energy you're sharing, that we're limitless and there are things that would happen in our life. We just need to invite them and welcome them when they come. And you know, you mentioned 30 under 30 list, and from what I've seen is that that was a manifestation of some sorts, and then it happened. Well, you helped others get into it. Probably they manifested you in their lives to get on
Hilarious.
the list. In general, like the power of manifestation, the power of being in the moment, and also like seeing who you can become and the possibilities. How do you do that?
You know, that's very curious. I think for me, making the Forbes 30 Under 30 list was definitely a dream come true. And I think one of the main ways I bring things to life is with the community around me. I made the 30 Under 30 list at a time when I had a life coach who encouraged me. She was like, okay, cool. We just kind of did your move to LA. What are we working on next? You know? And I was like, I want to make the 30 Forbes 30 Under 30 list. And you know, it's it, not to say that I hadn't been cultivating the narrative for that selection for years, but in that moment it was present and I was like, how am I going to make this happen? And so I think that's something I really learned is like leaning on the experts around me and the people who can encourage me. She was like, start by envisioning. What are you going to wear to the celebration? Who are you celebrating with? What does your hair look like? How do you pull up? Like, and it just started this very dreamy like process before I even started doing any of the work, you know? And so I think for me, I oftentimes operate in dreams. I'm a visionary. I'm a person who like can see what's to come so clearly, oftentimes. And I think the other part of manifestation that I would say is like co-creation. I really think it's our job to co-create with the creator. And that can be the universe or God or just your big me, the big person inside of you. Like it is your job to say, if you want something, you have to pull it down and architect it, right? It doesn't just come just because you're manifesting. It comes by doing the work. It comes by showing up. It comes by saying it and standing by it and being 10 toes down in what that is. And I think that that's something that, in particular, making the 30 Under 30 list showed me.
Co-creating with the creator. I think that would be the episode title. It's so powerful. It's so
Yes.
powerful.
That's
I mean, honestly, when you think about it, it's so deep. Like
what
when you think about it, because the way you're like imagining and manifesting, you're literally putting your vibration out there and co-creating with everything source. And E, I have goosebumps when I think about it.
That
Do
is our job. That is the thing, though. And that's something I've realized is like, I was telling my life coach yesterday, I said, like, just as the sun's rays are the sun, like, we are God embodied, you know? Like, we truly, truly are. And I think as we walk in that intuitively, because it's here, like, it's in your gut, it's in your mind, it's in your throat, like, it's in your body. And as we, like, get better at channeling that, co-creation comes with ease, you know? It comes from a place of knowing as opposed to like creating anything. You're like, nah, I know. I said what I said. And so I just fully believe that it is our job to co-create with the creator, to build with, to allow to be built through, to be a channel and a vessel.
100%. I always say I kiss the sun in the morning. I have that. I love that feeling when it's super, like it touches you and the first like coming out of the sun. So I want you to, I want to also get your wisdom on, you know, like being in the creative industry. I don't have many on the podcast in that space, and I really
Yeah.
get your wisdom on defining for us storytelling and culture.
Well, just on the creative industry, I think, again, there's many ways to approach creative. I think you can think of like independent artists, right? That are also creative. You think about, and there's also just so many different genres of creative, whether we're talking about music or we're talking about fashion or we're talking about graphics or we're talking about, I mean, it's limitless when it comes to creativity. Engineering is even creative. I think for me, what I've learned as I've grown as a creative in marketing and advertising, right? Like, I think that that's the vehicle that I have kind of magnetized that, like, I think holds creative well, because marketing and advertising is an opportunity to ultimately reach lots of people, but typically to sell them something, to inform them about something. But the industry uses creative. It's always morphing the way it uses creative, right? Like, it's gonna need copy, it needs writing, it's gonna need a graphic, or it's gonna need photos, it's gonna need videography, it's gonna need music, right? It might need a painting in the building, right? Like, it just uses creative in so many different ways. And so that's why I, in particular, have kind of grown in that industry. I think that, again, there really are levels to marketing and advertising, even that I'm starting to understand, and their strategy to creative. I think something I've really had to learn is how to operationalize my creative. I'm the type of person that really would like to do things one time only. Like, I will wear this outfit this one time. I may never wear it again. This is the first time I put this on 5 minutes before our call. I was like, yes, I'm doing it. Will I wear it again? I don't know. I will build an installation and like maybe never do it again. And I'm trying to change my mind around that, because that's not scalable necessarily.
Are you a Gemini?
You're so funny. My rising is a Gemini, but I'm a Pisces.
That is a dangerous
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. But what I've had to learn is how to operationalize creative and how to create a container for creative, right? And so I just mentioned I'm a Pisces, I'm a water sign. And if you think about water, it can take on many forms. It's like the ocean, it could be steam, it could be ice, it could be boiling, it could be still, it could be bubbling. And like, if you have no container for it, it's just out here, it's on the table, or it's, but with a glass, it can hold it. It has a form. And so I think that's the greatest thing I've learned about being a creative and the creative industry in general, is that it needs structure. Whether that is you have a process for to how you get to that brilliant idea, right? Or you have questions that inform you so that you can start a brainstorm. I would encourage anyone who wants to be a creative to start to figure out what is their process and what is the way that they get to the end result that they're seeking. That's something I didn't think about. I just thought like, oh, I can do it one time. But there's a process that goes into how I created my outfit. It was like, how am I feeling today? How do I want to show up on camera? Oh, what color eyeliner will complement it, right? Like there was clearly a methodology that needs to be extracted so that tomorrow when I get dressed, I think about the same thing. What am I feeling? What's my priority? I want to wear a hat. Oh, I want to be colorful. Oh, I'm feeling mellow, right? And so then again, it makes it easier for me to start getting dressed. It's more efficient. And so I would just share that as kind of something for folks to think about is again, it's really lovely to be creative and artistic, but if you don't have the operation, the process, the like way to, if you want to scale it or to reach more people, to materialize it, to get it from ideation to execution, you have to create that container.
That's brilliant. I never thought about it that way, actually. It happens to me like naturally, but I think yes, you can be much more efficient if you think of the methodology. But someone said in a previous podcast that also it's a calling. So as much as some people can follow, the process, like some people like you, just you.
I think that, like, truly what I believe is that we all have this inner artist and we apply our art, even to x-ray technician. My dad has an art to the way that he does it. He has a way that he shows up in the workplace that no one else shows up. And I truly think the thing that we must do for ourselves, our inner child, and for the world is figure out, like, what is our artistry? What is our way? Because the way knows the way and it expresses itself through us.
Do you see yourself as a politician in the future?
I guess I got a political science degree for a reason, but I don't know. I don't know. When I was younger, I did. I was like, oh, I'm gonna go to law school. And now I'm just like, girl, you ain't getting another degree. Be honest with yourself. So I don't know. I think that it's possible, like, to be involved in global relations at some point. I think it would be appropriate, but I will allow it to come to me.
What I wanted to ask why I said politician is, do you identify as a feminist? Do you feel like, not necessarily maybe advocacy, I mean, even though you do on the board, but do you feel like you naturally go out there and advocate for social justice issues?
I think I do. I think I do. And I recognize that my way is potentially different than others. I was actually talking about this with someone yesterday, and I brought up the murder of George Floyd. And I remember during that time being so challenged because I was not protesting in the streets. And I was like, why? Like intuitively, why is my body not out there? And I think as I reflect on my career, I realize that like that has not been my position in the I don't want to say struggle or fight. I want to say in the liberation of women and like Black and brown bodies. I think for me, my role is to be in the conversation. It's to be in the room. It's to translate the voices of the people to the stakeholders that matter. And I think that that's something I see myself doing throughout my life. When I was on the Black Student Unions, I was a part of a group of like 10 people who were translating needs of all the Black students to the chancellor of our university, right? Some of Us Festival, it's a queer wellness festival that my team builds installations for. And it's like, initially I started with a small team of six, and like last year my team grew to like 15 people of color that were in the woods at this wellness festival. And it's like, my job is to open the door. It's to talk to the organizers. It's to figure out the way that we can get in and get in for low cost or get in for free, right? And have access to the resources and the things that we need to be there. And so I do identify as a feminist. I do identify as a person who's a champion for underrepresented and overlooked people because I'm one of those people. Like I am her, she is me, truly. But I think that I do it in a way that really like blossoms in me beautifully. And I think that everyone should do it in the way that like blossoms in them, right? Without the external pressures. I think amidst what's happening in Palestine right now, something that I've really become aware of is that like Social media is just such a place for entitlement, whether that's like entitlement to share your opinion, entitlement to hear other people's opinion. And for me, that was really silencing me for a moment because I realized while I was doing a lot of personal work for the people of Gaza, whether that was just educating myself or talking to my dad about why we weren't going to Starbucks or, it could have been anything. But because I wasn't posting about it, right? And people didn't know my opinion, I feel like there was questions about how I felt. And I realized like, no one's entitled to my opinion, right? Like, just do the work again when no one's watching. It's for you, it's for people, it's for them, it's not for others who want to have an opinion and know yours.
Usually we ask our guests to say, "I am Nala because." So Nala is the lioness in Lion King, but also Nala in Swahili and other African languages means the gift, a powerful African woman. And that's what we stand for. We want to show women's agency, women's badass, women thriving, and not the picture of like we're all suffering and struggling. We are, but we rise.
Well, the first thing I want to say is through my travels, I have encountered a number of different African and Black women throughout the diaspora. And I think for me, I'm always inspired, truly. I think my vibration is one that can identify with the struggle and the downtrodden, but sees the light, sees the joy. And the perseverance and the softness, and the dream ultimately. And with that said, I am Nala because I am my ancestors' wildest dreams, because I am embodiment of God on earth. She, her, they, them, all of them, and him. And I am Nala because I am joy. And because I am breathing in this moment, and that is simply enough.
Ooh.
Okay,
Okay, let's sit with that for a second.
how
Beautiful,
I
beautiful,
feel.
beautiful. Is there anything I haven't asked you would like to share?
I think for me, what I would love to just share, something I've become committed to, is just working on how I show up in the world. And for me, that's looked like working on my EPK, my portfolio, and my website. And so I would love to people for people to check out my website, which is Jenna Sekwa, my name, JenaSekwa.com. And I think that's a perfect place to kind of see what I'm up to, what projects I've done, and also listen to mixes that I've released.
It's been really an honor to sit with you in this conversation. Thank you so much for your time.
Absolutely. This has really been such a wonderful, natural conversation. I really appreciate the thoughtfulness and intentions behind your questions. And I suppose the last thing that I will say to folks is that inspiration is open source. And I hope that through this dialogue that there's been something that's enlightened you or inspired you or just made you curious to whether that's search something else or just search internally. That's a beautiful place to be. So please, please, please take from what I've shared as it is yours and turn it into whatever you will from this moment forward.
And to all our listeners, thank you for listening, and I will see you in the next episode. Bye bye.
Bye.
To learn more, visit our website nalafem.org, follow us on social media at nalafem, and IG account at IamNalaPodcast. You can also give us a 5-star review on all podcasting platforms if you enjoyed this episode. Sign our manifesto, nalafem.org/manifesto, and keep on the conversation. Leave a comment below.